Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, if you have been a part of our church family for the last several years, you know that we have a very specific mission, and our mission as a church is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. And so one of the things that we move towards is really catapulting people into the plans and purposes of God. We want to encourage you, and then sometimes we give you that type of encouragement and thrust you into the plans and purposes of God in your life. And so what that means is that from time to time, you get to see a new face doing a new thing, and that is something that we get to experience this morning. Cameron has been a part of our church family for years and years. He has been part of stewarding worship. He's a Connect group leader. He's been a lot of ministry roles behind the scenes. He's gone through a process of getting his Foursquare licensing. We celebrated that last year as he became a Foursquare pastor. And today he's going to be the new face in a new place. And he's going to be delivering our message this morning, moving us forward in our sermon series, Crossing Over. So he's actually taken a crossing over in this moment as well. And I just want to introduce him and have you welcome him.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you this morning. It's so good to be here. This church is a great place. I don't know if you knew that, but there are so many people that are encouraging. And, you know, I love you guys. I really do, personally. It's just a little personal note. I love this place. If you have a desire to move forward and God transform your life, you have picked a great place to be. There is so much support and so much love here, and I'm just thankful that I have an opportunity to share with you today what the Word of God has to say and what Jesus has to say to us today. And I pray this morning that you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you today. A few years ago, and, you know, I'm an older guy, so I have a lot of stories. You older guys, you have stories. And younger people always cringe when you say, you know, when I was a kid, or a few years ago, but this will be short. My wife, Kim, and I, we lived in Broomfield, Colorado, and I worked in Commerce City. And in order to get to work, I had to drive down 270. And 270 has the South Platte River running underneath it. And it was really cold, below zero, and sometimes the temperature of the river was higher than the air temperature, and that would create fog. And that's what happened this one night I was driving to work. As I was coming towards work, there was this half-mile-wide belt of thick fog. It was kind of pretty, actually. It was kind of cool. And I'm just plugging along, you know, how any 20-year-old would, just going on, we're going to get through this, get to work, no problem. The car in front of me, however, had apparently experienced this before. They hit the brakes. We were going about 10 when we entered the fog, and he turned on his flashers. And aren't you glad sometimes for experienced drivers that are ahead of you? And as we entered the fog, it became apparent that the only thing I was going to be able to see was his two flashing lights at the back of his car. I couldn't see more than 10 feet around me. And as we proceeded through the fog, much to my surprise, there were emergency vehicles. There was an accident in the middle of this fog that I hadn't previously seen. And as we pulled out of the fog, I looked in my rear view, and I didn't see lights. I didn't see anything. Apparently, it just happened, because I think they probably would have come. Somebody would have warned us, you would have thought, but it could have been really bad if I'd been distracted for a minute. If I hadn't slowed down, if I hadn't had those two lights flashing ahead of me, it could have been really different. And, you know, our lives are like that. Have you ever experienced that before? Maybe not, maybe just in your life, just driving, for example. Maybe you have been driving and somebody, some creep is following, they're tailgating you, and you got your eyes on the rear view like, and then all of a sudden traffic stops. And you just about nail them, right? Or maybe you're just walking somewhere and you get distracted and you trip. Maybe you're on your cell phone walking through the mall and you trip over something. You know, I've seen that. I've never done it, but it does happen, right? We get distracted. We get our eyes pulled away to different things. Everyday life is distracting at times. Our family and friends can be distracting. There's so many things that take us off course. Even our own failures and our own missteps can take us off course. I want to read to you a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us where to look, where to keep our eyes. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you have given us direction. Jesus, we thank you for going before us. We thank you for looking at us, God, and directing us through the distractions, the pitfalls, the dangers that face us every day. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be in this place, and through these words that I speak today, that you would speak to our hearts. God, your word is powerful. Your word is living and active. Be living and active. Penetrate our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's true. That's how we're made. Wherever we turn our head, we tend to soon turn our feet. If you're walking and you notice something off here, your feet will eventually follow. And it's kind of like, it's just normal. It's normal for what a human, what the senses do. Your eyes turn and your feet eventually will follow. You know, in this sermon series called Crossing Over, last week we had a great analogy of cattle and how when the cattle crossed into the river, if they were able to turn their heads completely around, they would sit there and they would spin, they'd mill in a circle and drown. But the cowboys came up alongside and they kept their heads forward. Now, I've got limited experience with cattle. We have a few cows in our family, and I can tell you the truth about cows. If a cow is going to turn his head, that's the direction she's going to go. There is nothing that you can do about it until you get her head turned back straight. It's just the way they are. They have great vision to the sides, too, so you know you have to direct them. And I honestly have a hard time getting a cow through a 16-foot gate. It's almost impossible. It just kind of tells you what kind of cowboy I am. Maybe not a very good one, but you know, it's such a great example of how we are too, that we sometimes get our eyes off to the side and we drift off. And Jesus has a plan for us. So my question for you today is, what are you looking at today? And you say, well, I'm looking at a slightly past middle-aged male person speaking to me. Not exactly what I mean. What are you looking at? Where have you fixed your eyes today? What are you looking at? And when we're not looking at Jesus, when we haven't focused our eyes on Jesus, we're looking at other things. We're looking and trusting at other things. And when we look at other things, our path to transformation becomes a meandering, a wandering, maybe a turning around. And maybe sometimes even that path stops. We stop our journey because we've taken our eyes off the goal. So one place that we look is at ourselves when we take our eyes off Jesus. My grandson, Colton Riley, is 5 years old, and he is so much fun. I love that little boy so much. And a few months ago, he got some new shoes. And we came to visit at his house, and he says, "Papa, I got some new shoes, and they make me run really fast. You want to see?" And of course, I want to see. So he proceeds to take off running in his new shoes, showing me how fast he is, and he's running down the sidewalk, full speed, staring at his shoes. Now, he can get away with it. He's 5 years old. If I did it, I don't know. Might be a different story. But, you know, we look at ourselves. We trust our own judgment. we trust what we've been through. And we say, you know, I can handle this. I got this. We rely on past success, past things that we've been through. And maybe God even brought us through those things. But it becomes something that we trust in. We don't trust in God. We trust in our own strength and our own abilities. And sometimes we can focus on what we do for God and not who God is, and we lose sight of who He is. So what I mean by that is you may have served God your entire life. Maybe you were born on the pew like I was, and you grew up in church. You know Jesus. You know the truth. You've read your Bible. You've been to Sunday school. You go to church every Sunday, but you're busy doing things for God, and you lose sight of who God is, and you lose that personal time with Jesus, and you can get off. You can get distracted. I've seen it many times. People who have served the Lord their entire life, and they go off, and they lose their way. So we have to be very careful of that. As Christians, it's a dangerous position we can be in when we get to that. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Another place that we can look besides at ourselves is in our peripheral vision. Now, it's kind of cool because I can look back at the back and I can still see my hands here. That's amazing. We're made pretty cool. I mean, that's a really good thing to have, right? You think peripheral vision is a good thing to have? You know, if we had this kind of vision and we went out to drive, you know, maybe out here it wouldn't be so bad, but man, if you went up to Denver, whoo, that'd be bad. There'd be cars coming at you, you wouldn't see them. Maybe if you didn't have peripheral vision, you're walking off these steps, you'd trip and fall. It's important to understand that there are things in our peripheral vision, in our spiritual peripheral vision, that distract us. And they draw us away from our gaze, which should be in Jesus, and they come alongside, and we see these things in our peripheral. We could choose to keep looking ahead, or we can turn. You know, some things that come into our peripheral vision might be some things that that are good too. There are good things in our peripheral. I believe you guys are in my peripheral vision. As I move forward towards Christ, there's others alongside, and we're on the same journey to the same destination. Well, we may be taking the same exact steps, but we're on the same destination. Jesus is our destination. We walk together. I look at, like, you know, connect groups that we have in this church. If you guys aren't part of a connect group, give it a shot. You'll journey with other people. You'll walk with other people that are in your peripheral, and you have the same focus and the same goal. There's things that pull us away, though, in a negative way. You know, the world says, if you look at anything in the world, it says, look at me. They're trying to draw your focus off of what you should be focusing on, and that's Jesus. They're saying, look at me. Look, I'm a great athlete. I can put a little round ball through a little metal hoop. Look at me. Maybe it's an entertainer. Maybe it's somebody who thinks they're really important. Maybe they have a lot of money. And they say, look at me. But there's only one king, LeBron. There's only one, and it's Jesus. So when we look in our periphery and we turn our focus to that, we turn our feet and we're off the path and we're meandering and we're lost and we're wandering. So we have to be careful that we're not pulled off in our peripheral vision. Those things are temporary that we get distracted by. They're stubble that gets burned. It's worthless, not lasting. Another place that we look is behind us. So we've looked at ourselves, we've looked in the periphery, now we look behind. There's sometimes that we look behind. We focus on what's behind. Now, I've always wanted, ever since I was a little boy, I wanted to be a farmer. I did not want to be an astronaut. I did not want to be a firefighter. I did not want to be a policeman. I wanted to be a farmer. And I had a chance to do that for a while. But growing up, when I was about 9, 10 years old, I'd come out to my grandparents' farm in eastern Colorado. I grew up in Arvada. I didn't grow up here. And I'd come out to the farm, and I'd learn things about farming. And driving a tractor was something that I learned at a very young age, and it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And my grandfather was a stickler for straight lines. If you were going to be working in the field, you weren't going to have this. You were going to have this. Now, how many of you guys know that we live in an agricultural community, right? You guys know that? There's farmers in this place right now. There is such thing. It's totally amazing, and I don't have it. I'm not big enough. There's a GPS auto steer for your tractor. Do you guys know this? That you just push the button, and it drives. It turns the wheel for you. It does everything for you. Perfectly straight lines. This all came into being after my grandfather passed away, so he would have been thrilled. We'd have had to have it. There would have been no money spared to buy this technology. But what happened when I learned was that I was really, really interested in what was going on behind the tractor. What's up ahead? There's some dirt, you know, maybe there's a couple weeds up ahead, there's still a lot. But in the back, that's where it was happening. You know, oh man, look at this thing going. This is so cool, and the weeds are dying, and it's really cool. And I look back and I turn the wheel and I mess Grandpa's line up. I mess his straight line up. And so my grandpa loved Jesus, and he knew scripture, and he'd quote this verse, maybe a little out of context. And we'll put it up on the screen. And Luke 9:62 says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So there I was. I wasn't fit for the kingdom of God because I couldn't get a straight line in the field. But he'd smile. He knew that it was all part of learning, all part of keeping my eyes ahead. And you know, when we're looking in the back, we're looking behind us, we're 180 degrees from where Jesus wants us to look and where he has intended us to look and where the goal to wholeness and transformation occurs when we're looking ahead at him. And we look at where we've been, and that's futile. There's brokenness behind. There's the things that we've lost. There's failures. There's disappointments. And we can look back and we can focus on that, and usually what happens is our journey ends right there. We stop. We can't move forward. You're not going to move forward. When you're looking off to the side, at least you're moving. You look back, you're done. You're sitting still. And God doesn't have the ability to do a new thing in us when we're looking back. When we're focused on the old, when we're focused on the old life, when we're focused on the things that went wrong in the past, he can't do a new thing in us. He can't transform us. We can't be transformed. So this is what Jesus says. He says, "Look at me. Focus your eyes on me." John 14:6. You want to look that up real quick? This talks about what Jesus says he is. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus proclaims who he is. And you know, the Bible, if you didn't know this, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ from one end to the other. Who is Jesus? Read the Bible. You'll find it out. You'll find out who he is. All throughout Scripture it says, "Look at me. Look at my son. Look at the Lord. Look at me." And you will find what you're looking for this morning. Jesus is the creator. Jesus was at the beginning of time. Before the world was created, it says that he was there. Jesus, in Hebrews, he says that, "I am the author and perfecter of your faith." I made you. I wrote your story. Jesus speaks that. And because he was there at the beginning, because he knows us, he proclaims that he is the way. And that makes sense. If Jesus knows us, if Jesus knows everything about us, wouldn't that make sense that he's the way? That he's the only way? John 8:58. Jesus makes a really, really bold statement. And he's speaking to highly spiritual people, very important people of the day. And he says, "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." And by making this statement, he says that to everyone that was in his hearing, "I am God." Now, that's not a Savior that's weak. Okay, that's not a Savior that doesn't have some guts, right? He knew who he was, and he proclaimed it right there. "I was there before Abraham," Pharisees. And he declared it emphatically, not with reservation, not with hesitation, emphatically. He said, "Look at me. I am the way." And you know, when we look in our peripheral vision, in our spiritual peripheral vision, at the world around us, the world is full of deception, lies, things that can trip us up if we focus on it. You know, you might watch one news channel and they say they have the absolute truth over here. And this news channel over here has the absolute truth, but it's nothing like this one. It's exactly the opposite. You may hear experts that give opinions that differ and that contradict one another. And you can choose who to follow in your peripheral. You can turn aside and you can follow people. But you know what the shortest distance between two points is? It's a straight line. And when I go off this way, I'm losing my way. God has a better plan. God has a better plan for you. And Jesus warned us in Mark 13, chapter 21 through 23, verse 21 through 23. "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Messiah,' or 'Look, here he is,' don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." That's you guys today. You're the elect. It can happen. We can be deceived. We can be drawn off course by lies, by untruths. So Jesus says, "Look at me. I'm not only the way, I am the truth." John 5:24. It says, Jesus speaking here, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." You know the song that we sang about graves into gardens? That is such a powerful song. That is such a power. The words are powerful in that. "Beauty for ashes, mourning to dancing, shame into glory, graves into gardens, bones into army." God is in the business of transforming from death to life. If you've experienced that today, if you know Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you were somebody else before, and your life has been transformed. And it took you focusing on Jesus. It took you taking your vision to Jesus. That's the greatest transformation you can experience, from death to life. I want to share one more verse with you, Proverbs 3:5. And for me, this is a key verse in my life. whenever I find myself wandering, whenever I find myself confused about, you know, what I need to do, this is the verse that I have right here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So I don't have to try to figure it out myself. I can't look at myself and say, oh yeah, self, you got it figured out. I trust in the Lord. In all my ways, acknowledge him, submit to him in everything, and he will direct my path to him. He will make that path to wholeness and make that path to transformation complete. You know, God, he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want to see you struggle. He doesn't want to see you wander off into things that will damage you or hurt you. He wants wholeness in your life, and we should too. If you'd stand with me this morning, and I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward. And I just simply have a question for you this morning. Again, what are you looking at today? Where are your eyes fixed today? Are you looking at yourself today? Are you looking at what you're doing for God, but you've neglected being with God? Look to Jesus today. Are you satisfied with your abilities that you've relied on so much, and you're not allowing God to do a new thing in you? Are you willing to move into transformation and wholeness today? Or have you been distracted by the things on the side, the things of the world that have pulled you away? The things that sometimes aren't necessarily bad, but they do pull you off course. And you need to turn your eyes back to Jesus and look at him and say, God, I'm going to follow you today. Or are you maybe perhaps looking back? You're stuck in the past. Just like the cattle in the middle of the river, sitting there milling and spinning, and that's where you're at. Your journey is stopped. Your journey, you're not moving forward. And God's calling you to turn around 180 degrees and get back on the path. And how many of you know that we have all gotten off the path before? Every one of us has stepped off the path at one point or another, and it's never too late to turn around, get back on the path, and follow Christ today. Jesus said, look at me, follow me, look in my eyes. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no other way this morning. Father, this morning we are so thankful, God, for your word, which has penetrated our hearts, Lord. And God, as we look to you today, we trust you. We know that you have an answer. God, we know that your transformative power can live in us today. Jesus, today I pray that each and every heart here would turn to you, no matter where they're at, whether they're looking at themselves and they're trusting themselves too much, or they're looking off to the side and have been distracted by things in their peripheral vision, or maybe perhaps they're stuck in the past. It's difficult under their own power to move out of that. But God, you're a powerful God. You're a great God. And you love us, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose for our life. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've never heard about this, or maybe you know a little about it, or maybe once you followed and now you're not, I want you to just take a minute right now. Close your eyes, and in your mind's eye, I want you to just picture Jesus. And Jesus is leading you, but he's facing you. And he's beckoning you. He's wanting you to come. He's saying, come, child. Follow me. Look at me. I created you. I know you. And as you do that this morning, you just submit to him. Say, Jesus, I will follow you today. Lord, I may get off the path at some point. I may not do the right thing all the time, but I'm going to fix my gaze on you and I'm going to turn and follow you, Jesus, today. Trust him today. And if you've known Jesus your whole life, maybe a long time, and you find yourself caught up in doing good and being busy doing good but leaving God out of the equation, just ask him right now to realign your eyes, realign your focus on him so that he can do a new thing. No matter where you're at in life, he can do a new thing. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. Do a new thing in us. May we be drawn to you. May we focus on you today, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God's so good. He's done some great things. Got two action steps this morning. And the first one is to ask God to reveal something that has distracted you or kept you from the path to transformation and wholeness and deal with it. And the second one is memorize Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Make it a life verse that you can bring to your mind very often.